Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Tim. So, Tim, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hey, Dan, it's great to be here. I'm in Austin, Texas. I'm the CEO and founder of Brain Trust, and we are in the business of giving brands a single source of truth. We go in and we take 100% of their data. We set up a master data management platform for them, and sometimes it's a customer data platform that acts as that MDM. But that's what we're doing and preparing everybody for the AI age.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start Brain Trust?
Well, you know, it was a combination of things, right? My whole career, whether that was software or it was an agency, either working for them or starting my own, I've always had an eye to what's next or what's different than what everybody's doing right now. There was a period of time where I was doing a tremendous amount of mobile work, mobile strategy, which means much more than just mobile apps and SMS. It means understanding everything that's in play because it's the person, not the device, that's actually mobile. And that's where I got interested in data. So to answer your question directly, it's, you know, what do we do with all the data that these devices create and that social media creates and websites? And now cars, homes, everything is creating data. And what do you use to capture it, make sense of it, and actually improve your overall operations? That was really, if you put it all in a blender, I couldn't say it that succinctly before, but that's what we saw, and that's what we're doing.
So can you just talk about a current customer use case, like how somebody uses Brain Trust today without mentioning a customer name?
Sure. We have a bank and we have a hospital system, both of them in very similar situations right now. When you think about healthcare and you think about financial services, they were slow to go to the cloud. They're in captive regulation. So they've been very reluctant to adopt lots of the technologies that we enjoy in the commercial or the retail world, for sure. We usually are in there for about 90 days to 6 months. We help them set up an AI council or a data intelligence task force within the organization. And we start to understand what is it they want to improve and what their current state of operations is. From that, we write a prescription for them on how to go about uniting all the data in the organization in a master data management platform or a customer data platform. Sometimes it's both. But because we spent that time with them on the front end, we've socialized data literacy across the organization, not just AI, but data governance, privacy, security, all of the responsibilities that everybody has to be a part of today. And then from that, use cases that help us with the configuration and ultimately the scoping of the massive project that usually lasts another 90 to days to 6 months to bring all that data together in one of those platforms.
Awesome.
The end results are immediate compliance with data privacy laws. You and I live here in Texas, and you know, there will be a Texas data privacy law that'll be in effect next summer. You know what those laws state? You have to be able to find the data when a customer asks to see their data or to correct their data. Lots of companies can't do that with it all spread around the business, especially if they're banks or hospitals. They've got multiple buildings, multiple departments or divisions where data about the same person may exist, right? So in with the compliance side, there's one side of it, but the other side of it too is just the great efficiency you have now. Instead of sending four pieces of direct mail to one person, maybe you're only sending one. Instead of targeting someone with display ads and retargeting them 20 times from several different cost centers, you're only doing it once now, right? Or you're doing it fewer times. So there's a savings that comes with it as well. At the end of the day, it just brings efficiency to the customer experience or the patient experience in that example. But it also provides you with some semblance of efficient operations, which means operational expense savings and the like within the organization.
Makes sense. So is your business model, is it more consulting or is it pure SaaS? Like, what does that look like?
Pure consulting. And on the delivery side, right? These are software developers. These are folks that know how to create API connections that otherwise didn't exist historically, and or just to leverage existing API connections to batch load data in a very secure way with the platform to test it. So there's a high technical aptitude with what we do as well. I'm not a technologist. I'm a strategist and an entrepreneur, but the folks that work alongside me, they're a mix of data scientists and engineers, as well as folks that can sit in a boardroom and have a conversation with a chief marketing officer or a CFO and explain things in a way that they understand it.
Makes sense. So what would you say is the biggest challenge that you're facing in the business right now?
You know, I think just having folks understand how AI works. You know, at the basis of what we do is we're setting up an organization to leverage machine learning and artificial intelligence at scale. Most folks don't realize that behind companies like OpenAI or Google or even Microsoft in their relationship with OpenAI are capitalizing on historical data. For a long time, OpenAI obviously has been criticized about the age of the data that they use, right? The challenge there is, and OpenAI is a great example, you know, there are around 300, maybe 400 lawsuits against them right now in terms of copyright infringement and maybe even some things on the privacy side of things in terms of how they scrape the data that they're using with those models. So what we're doing is we're putting organizations in a position to where they can structure the data inside their company in a way, and not just the first party data, but the first, the second, the third, and this crazy category that people call zero party data. There's really no such thing, right? But you know, being able to bring all that data into a platform, structure it, be able to model it, segment it, resolve it first and foremost, right? Before you model it, that's leveraging AI. And that's actually setting you up from a data structure standpoint to where whatever's next for your company in terms of AI tools and AI platforms, you now have data that's yours, that's real time, that's fresh, has to do with your brand and your customer, which to me is the grand opportunity. It's a long way of me saying that most folks just don't realize that at the basis of AI, there's processing power and there's great math, which is the model itself or the algorithms that make sense of data. But in between that is the data. And that's what makes AI special. That's what makes AI do the things specific to you and specific for you.
Makes sense. So I guess if somebody, you know, like wanted to work with you, it's like, even how, what does that process look like? I mean, for example, when you even go and you start prospecting, are you reaching somebody on LinkedIn saying, hey, you know, we can help you leverage AI better? Or like, how do you even go about, you know, approaching someone who, as you mentioned earlier, just many people don't know about AI, they don't know how it can help them. So what does that look like when it comes to you prospecting and actually closing a deal with somebody who you're working with?
Well, Dan, I mean, I think it's when you say they don't know, I mean, there's a huge opportunity for education and thought leadership, right? I mean, there's many opportunities we have to speak at events, to sponsor events, to be present where there are audiences that are curious, right? That are willing to learn more. So we do a lot of that. The other thing we do is we have 7 strategic partnerships with the platform companies themselves. And they have sales organizations with ADRs, BDRs, and a marketing operation as well, where they're trying to generate leads. And they bring us in to be able to have that strategic and professional lens on how to implement their technology, how to do things. So we have a one-to-many channel relationship that exists with those 7 partners that we have right now. So we're not doing we're not doing a tremendous amount of cold prospecting. It happens. Absolutely. You know, we run into people, we have a lot of people who reach out to us, but it's not how we're built.
So for example, it's more just this kind of positioning where you've been in the field for some time and you have this, you know, you position yourself and as an expert, which you are, and people come to you and say, hey, listen, like, I need your help with this.
Yeah, well, I'm not an expert, Dan, and neither are you. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all teachers and sure, students, right? And as a student, as someone who's been curious about this, back to your first question, right?
Yeah.
Is I've been constantly curious about human behavior on one hand, but then technology and how it molds, shapes, scales, and scopes what humans do and how they behave, right? So at the end of the day, to that note, you know, this is a very bespoke I don't want to use the word customize, but it is a bespoke configuration of technology that we're doing brand by brand, and many times the business units or divisions of that brand, departments, right? There's specific operations, specific ways they do business. There's a specific culture, both with employees and with customers, that because we're dealing with customer data, first and foremost, not to mention all the data, which is customer related, because we're doing that, it becomes a very unique and bespoke engagement every single time. Therefore, these are relationships we have to have with our clients. This is not transactional in the sense that we have a square box and we're looking for people who have square holes, you know?
Right. So I guess, like, obviously now it's 2024 is around the corner. So what are some of your goals for next year? Like, where do you want to scale to from where you're at now?
You know, we're expecting probably a couple thousand percent growth next year. Lots of folks historically were interested in personalizing media experiences. They were interested in cutting down call times in contact centers by having customer records pop up with telematics in a contact center, for instance, right? So before they pick up the phone and say, hello, Dan, they actually have your information right in front of them and they have a much more empathetic exchange with you, right? What does that do? It cuts the call time down. A lot of our clients had come to us for those types of things in the past. Now we're starting to see some maturation after a strong year of 2023, lots of people putting a toe in the water and testing and playing around with large language models on one hand, and the last 2 weeks moving to multimodal models. Folks are getting more and more curious about how these things work and what they can do to capitalize on the possibilities of them being around. So we see next year that a lot of people won't just come to us for operational help, but they'll actually come to us for future readiness and to get their data together so they can capitalize on AI.
Makes sense. But like, what do you think is the biggest obstacle, you know, from where you're at now to getting to 1,000%, you know, scaling by 1,000% by next year?
I think it's the always the slippery slope of cash flow and headcount. You know, always need more arms and legs, and always need more cash to pay arms and legs and brains, you know? So, I mean, that's, it's not insurmountable. I want to be clear to say is we've been doing this since 2016, and we've been able to slowly hone what it is we're doing. And as we've seen, what is obvious that the marketplace is not hot, but it's certainly warming up, is that now's our time, and the resources we have in terms of being able to augment our teams and being able to augment our delivery of these technologies that I've explained, you know, we've got a grand opportunity to do that. So I think time is the challenge, always is, right? It's just, there's only 24 hours in the day at the end of the day, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that either. They think, hey, you know, we can do everything we want to do. Well, you know, you can't always.
Right. So what'd you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
I'll say this is, you know, you may have friends and friendly relationships with folks when you start a business. And that's important that you can get along and you can work alongside each other. I think what you got to do is you got to look at impact. You have to look at productivity and be able to come before you can measure it, really forecast what is it we're building and how is it going to convert business, right? I mean, I think it's a long way of saying at the same time, be careful when you hire your friends. And the friends I speak of, if they heard this, would probably just smile and shake their heads as well. I would just say, you know, right now it's, everyone has to understand the point that we made right off when you labeled me an expert is, A, there are no experts. And that's the great thing about AI is, you know, my team has these hats that I bought all of them 6 months ago that say, actually, this is my first rodeo. And that's where we are right now in terms of business. In fact, if you and I are talking a year from now, things are going to look very, very different than they look today. Not just because of a crazy election and some of the things that are going on geopolitically, but certainly because of technology and how it's become ubiquitous in terms of AI immersing us being immersed in artificial intelligence and how it changes our lives.
For sure. Yeah, it's a lot of exciting things and we're rooting for you. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or social media, just best ways to get in contact with you?
Sure. I'm on LinkedIn. The LinkedIn address is the usual for premium accounts, /saddleup, SADDLEUP. And I'm on Twitter at @TheTimHayden. And then, of course, our website is braintrust.partners, where quite a bit of our thought leadership and basically our approach is recorded and shared.
Awesome. Well, Tim, thank you so much for your time today.
You bet, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Of course. All right. Bye.